have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls.
Filled with hate, we think and feel too little.
We think too much and feel too little.
More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. No one will be lost. Do not fear, the hate of men will pass, and dictators die.
Dictators die,
and the power they took from the people will return to the people.
Return to the people.
Let's all unite, let us find a new world to do away with evil. Now let us fight the fight, feel the peace, let us unite.
Here, folks. I didn't get a call before the show until 29th, 2015, a Wednesday, which means we're going to be joined here by Daniel any minute now. So it's funny, we're having a little Skype conversation, and we were talking about, well, I want to do a little thing that I figured out after we talked to KW yesterday, and I kind of realized what he was saying on the show, actually after the show. And I realized that what he was doing in the room had the judge actually declare two things. He was having the court actually declare the status for which they saw KW as a, quote-unquote, as a living being, right, as a man. They were actually saying what his status was. And then the second declaration was, what is my status or my connection to this person? That we made the declare that Christian name, the name that he's used to sign documents, seemingly, when he actually judge to declare what he has said, but still conjoined to them in his first declaration, the judge was actually talking about you as shown proof that he brought to the question to the quote, in the Constitution, actually what he was declaratory statement from. In other words, his place in society, in other words, was what was being declared. And because he was being declared as something that is above the law, above that federal personhood, but that at the same time that he was in surety to that federal personhood, which was basically the severing of that connection. So now I kind of get what this whole thing is, what his actual plan is, because now it's hard to put into words, but he has a declaratory judgment from the court as to what he is in the eyes of the court as he's out there, compared to just what his person is. So it's a very important step to this process, and I hope that people were able to pick that up. If not, hopefully that explains it. The difference, in other words, he was establishing the difference between himself and that person that he was acting in short for. So we obviously coming to the process going through, and hopefully the process, and he can start actually doing what he wants to do. But on that note, I'd like to introduce our wee guest, Daniel. I almost called you Mr. Daniel from Canada, joining us as he does every week. Welcome, Daniel. Oh, well, sometimes we have a bad connection with Daniel, so... Daniel, do we have you? Well, doesn't that just figure? There was a conversation we were having basically on Skype there, and I was just leaving a couple quotes, because you know, my new fascination is with a guy named Voltaire. I've never actually read Voltaire. I've seen a lot of his quotes, but I've never read Voltaire. I think I'm going to go get some Voltairean literature and start reading, because, you know, he's one of those... I've often heard that, well, you shouldn't read Voltaire. Oh, yeah. And I'm kind of thinking that's because the church is saying that as opposed to anyone legitimate. So one of his great quotes, though, that I think are apropos to what we've been talking about on this show is this. He says, a people, and this is very, very, this gouges out the quote. He says, a people, and that is not a capitalized people, a people that sells its own children, referring to us, is more condemnable. Let me start over. A people that sells its own children is more condemnable than the buyer, referring to that government of the real people. Commerce, he says, demonstrates our superiority. He who gives himself a master was born to have one. If you think about what that means, a people that sells its own children is more condemnable than buyer being government. This commerce demonstrates our superiority. He gives himself a master, was born to have one. Wow, that's a pretty startling commentary on our current state of being. He also says that all men are equal, as a statement of fact, but it's not their birth that makes them equal, the virtue itself that makes the difference. In other words, it's the actions. It's what we do in life, not our birth, that makes us, quote-unquote, equal. So just in other words, just because you're born equal doesn't make you equal in society. That's a big fallacy attributed to our, declaration, our constitution, our foundation of this country. Oh, okay, all men are born equal. Well, that may be, but what happens after you're born? How about the birth process? Two different things. You're born, then you're birthed. So, hey, it's really virtue. Is what he's saying. It is what you do with your life. It's the actions that you partake, not the beliefs, not the big words and fancy suits. Nope. Anyway, do we have Daniel? Well, geez. All right, we're having some connection issues, which is nothing new with with our friend Daniel. Excuse me. Pardon me. Well, we've been doing the show with Daniel for how long at this point? Or so, I've been a hell of a ride, and I don't know what I would do without certain of my guests, honestly. They either teach me or get my butt in gear to learn one or the other. So I'm very pleased to have this little collection of guests. Oh, I apologize, got a frog on my throat. Oh, well, I'll tell you what, if you let me know when Daniel is on there, Mr. Board Guy, and we will... continue thusly. I was gonna have gonna have Stephen Starrs, who shows up on Bob Tuscan's show a lot. He delivered a little thing at the conference that we both spoke at, and it was about the notion of the Antichrist, and it was pretty interesting. We actually shared a room there at the conference. And we got to talking a little bit about Israel and the notion of how Israel and why Israel was conquered and created from the Palestinian state there, and what is the real purpose of that? And we seem to concur in our thoughts that has to do with Temple Mount, destruction of the Temple, the creation of a racial war, a religious war. And the rebuilding of the temple, which is a very interesting subject. We'll be talking about that on, tomorrow. And, I guess we're still having trouble with Daniel, huh? All right. Well, that's... I guess I'm going to have to log into my computer now. All right. Sorry, just having a little discussion with my board guy there. We're trying to get Daniel on for you. I was going over in my book as I was writing, really trying to get across the difference. Every word that you read, especially when you go to a regular dictionary that gives all the meanings, like Webster's 1828, you have to read things. For in a duality, and it's very difficult sometimes to differentiate, and I think that's one of the big problems that people have. It's one of the problems I always had, because I kept reading these nearly opposite definitions for the same word, and I could never figure out what the hell's going on, until I realized that often, first of all, I realized that there's two versions of God. There's two versions of, at least, of law. In fact, there's quite many more. And so there's a duality going on. It's a strange duality that when you read these words in the dictionaries, you have to be able to switch back and forth in your comprehension of just what the author of that dictionary is talking about, or what the court case explains it as. In this case, Webster is defining the word dead. And I've tried to explain this over and over because it's such an important notion. But as you go down, it's a big, long definition. As you go down, it says it gives your Bible quotes. And unfortunately, we've been fooled, tricked, through media and through other sources into thinking that every time we see the word dead, that we're speaking of a physical death, the cessation of actual life. And again, life can be several different forms, fictional and non-fictional. Everything has a fiction, everything has a reality. And you have to be able to really comprehend both at the same time, and you have to understand that the dead is always trying to take over the space of the living, that artificiality is always trying to exert itself onto the real. The simulation and the simulacrum is always trying to work its way and force its way over all that is real and nature. And you have to read accordingly. It says, "The men are dead who sought thy life," in Exodus 4:19. Dead is described as imitating death. Deep sound is a deep sleep, the imitation of death, right? Means empty or vacant. Well, not enlivened by variety, as a dead void space, as a dead plane. Well, when you got to think about what that means, what is a dead plane but a dead plane of existence, right? So remember, the word lie means to exist. So a dead plane of existence is actually a description of citizenship. The legal existence, in other words. We say also a dead level for a perfectly level surface. There's your Masonic reference. Unemployed. So now we're switching to the view of the government as opposed to the view of God. Now we're going to go to what government considers as a dead man, a dead person, if you will. It means unemployed, useless, unprofitable. A man's faculties may lie dead, or his goods remain dead on his hands. Listen to this. So dead capital, or stock, is that which produces no profit. How does government consider you as one of its civil life? Things in its civil life? Well, you're dead to government unless you're employed, unless you're being used, unless you're making a profit for government through tax or other methods. So he calls you dead capital or dead stock, as in livestock, because you're producing no profit for government. However that may be, whether it's you're in jail being used for your labor, or you're volunteering your labor for absolutely nothing, which we call money. Dull, without natural force or efficacy. That's how we're acting. We're not acting in nature. Not lively or brisk. And here's another one. Okay, now we're switching again. In state, dead is to be in a state of spiritual death. Void of grace. The grace of God, that is. Lying. The word lie. Lying under the power of sin. Ah, what is sin? The voluntary departure of a moral agent from an own rule or rectitude of duty prescribed by God, any voluntary transgression of the divine law or violation of a divine command, any wicked act, iniquity, a positive act, as in the positive law, voluntary neglect to obey a positive divine command, etc., etc., etc. You have to go back and forth to do whatever is contrary to God's command or law. Well, which God are we talking about? Are we talking about the magistrates, the kings, the queens, the pope? Or are we talking about the real God, the natural law? It's hard to tell, but you just have to do it. Sin is also defined, interestingly, as native. What are we? We're native-born citizens, right? Native depravity or alienation of the affections of God and his law. Well, guess what, folks? You can think, oh, now he's talking about sin. He's getting all religious. Actually, I'm not. Nothing to do with that. I'm telling you that as a person, as a citizen, you are in a state of sin. You are a native of the state. Oh, but I value my citizenship. It gives me rights. You're in a state of alienation from God, from nature, from the natural law, from all that is. You're in that state of alienation. You're in a permanent state of sin. You don't have to think of sin as something that the church ordains. The church is sin. It stands in sin. It is incorporated within the sin that is government. Rejection of Christ and the gospel plan of salvation. To depart voluntarily from the path of duty prescribed to men. It's really not that hard to understand, but oh, boy, we don't want to talk about that word sin, because that's of the church, right? Well, yeah, the sinner is the one that blames us for sin, isn't it? In a state of spiritual death, void of grace, lying under the power of sin, impotent, unable to procreate, Yeah, it's an interesting word, too. When we're talking about the dead, impotent, unable to procreate. You know what that means, folks? It means that because you're a slave, you're not able to have an heir. You're not having a legitimate offspring. You're having an issue through a birth certificate. It also means decayed in grace. Yeah, well, there you go. Void of grace or decayed in your grace, the grace of God. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. This is from Revelation 3:1. Hey, wait a minute. Revelation's coming right about now, isn't it? What's it telling you in the Bible? That you have a name that you live through and therefore you are dead to God. Revelation 3:1. Not proceeding from spiritual life, not producing good works. In other words, your actions don't match your faith. Your actions don't match your so-called belief. Faith without works is dead. Dead faith. Faith in government is dead faith, from James 2:17. This is all out of Webster's, folks. It's right there for you. Proceeding from a corrupt nature. How is your nature corrupted? How is nature corrupted? Through legal law, through artifice, through the birth. Not from spiritual life. So proceeding from corrupt nature, not from spiritual life, or the gracious principle, dead works. Now in law, and that's in Hebrews 9:14, in law, how does the law consider dead? Well, again, we have to switch now. Now we're not coming at this from God's perspective, we're coming at this from the legal perspective. Therefore, the men are the gods, and here's what they say. In law, when you're dead, it means you're cut off from the rights of a citizen, the rights that they give you. It means you're deprived of the power of enjoying the rights of property, as one banished or becoming a monk is civilly dead. A dead language is a language which is no longer spoken or in common use by a people, and known only in writings. Hey, does that sound like the legal language, maybe? Hebrew, Greek, Latin, those kind of languages? Isn't that what our actual legal language is made up? Combination of the Latin and the Greek? Dead language. Well, it's only dead because it's legal. The dead signifies dead men. You shall not make cuttings for the dead, Leviticus 19:28. Again, not talking about dead people here, talking about the artificiality of persons, the state of the dead or death. Now, again, in Matthew 14:2, he's introduced. Here's a man introduced. This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. Well, how was he risen from the dead? Wait a minute, he's right here. You're telling me he was dead? How many people could possibly die and be risen again in the Bible? Hey, folks, it's figurative. He's no longer, he gave back, he rendered what wasn't his to Caesar. He arose from the dead, Matthew 14:2. The time when there was a remarkable stillness or gloom, depth as in the midst of winter or night, or from the expressions. The verb simply means to lose life or force, to deprive of life, force, or vigor. See how screwed up these definitions can be? Because you have to switch back and forth. You have to say, okay, from whose perspective? Am I the perspective of God? Am I the perspective of man? Am I from the perspective of nature? Am I from the perspective of the legal law? I have to switch back and forth to understand all these different definitions of this stupid word that means so much from whatever perspective I'm looking at it from. Well, let's see. Now that I've wasted that much time, hey, Daniel, do we have you?
Yeah, you got me.
looky there. Welcome, my friend.
So how's it going?
Oh, you know, just ranting away until you could come in and enlighten us.
Oh, I didn't have any problem with what you were saying.
Well, that's because you're dead.
I've been down those rabbit holes, so I should be what appears to be insane because... Unfortunately, most people aren't gonna comprehend it because they're too caught up in stress and their time is taken up. So they're unfortunately their spirit is engaged in unfortunately a bad journey with people that are controlling how their body moves around, and therefore they don't want to hear what we're saying. So unfortunately, they're going to think that we're just ranting.
It's possible. And how did they define that again? Unemployed, useless, unprofitable. So the opposite of that would be to civilly to have a civil life and to be respected by government. It means you're employed and profitable. You're too busy doing that, right? Too busy on that dead existence, right? To possibly figure out that your soul has been entrapped, right? Again, man, so dead capital or stock is that which produces no profit. So apparently, Daniel, you and I are dead to this corporate entity we call government, because I sure am not bringing any profit to those guys.
Yeah, if you're not operating in the legal, there's only one other opposite, and we already went through that legal is the undoing of God's law, so basically anybody that's in the legal and signing, well, we know that only the dumb sign, right?
Well, what I find so fascinating about that is, as we know, and as we can read, it was the church that created the civil or legal law.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so ecclesiastical or moral so-called law, in order to create a law, is completely the antithesis of that moral law, right?
You can't run, in their sense, the solution without keeping the problem going. So they never let anybody out of the, they never cure anything. They're always patching something, but it never, they can't cure the problem. That's why the Cancer Society never cures cancer. And all these, it's disease, it's dis-easement. So we're in dis-easement when we're in an unrest position or an occupation or a war position. So therefore, that is a disease. So there's no ease out there. And, as long as people keep on energizing that same problem, and then not looking towards the solutions to relieve themselves of that problem, they're not going to see the way out. And there really is only two options, you know, to an extent. One, if you're participating, well, then you better realize you've been using an unauthorized signature, an unofficial signature, and that's the one that we put down there under RADAF, unauthorized official signature, or we remove what is ours out. And those are the only two logical position I can see at this point, and we have been seeing some communications, and all I can say is that if people do not keep on trying to do or go towards the truth, they're never going to see the light. They're just going to just be misery in there, and unfortunately, misery likes to have a lot of participants, right?
A lot of company. Well, company means corporation, right?
You got it.
Hey, it's interesting, Webster really blew my mind today when I was looking this up, because the last little subject or little excerpt he says for the word sin, I really, really, you know, I was like, oh, that makes perfect sense. This is the true definition of personhood or sin. Why is sin and personhood the same thing? Why is the birth certificate the enactment or creation of a sinful existence? It says, sin is another word for sins. S-I-N-C-E, which is now an obscure term because they don't want you to comprehend this. So I mean, well, since sin is in sense, it means after or from the time that, the whole period between an event and the present time, right? Since denotes during the whole time after an event or a particular time during that period. So that's very interesting. Now, what is an event? It means that which comes, arrives, or happens. That which falls out. Any incident that's good or bad. The event to the righteous, and one event to the wicked. The consequence of anything. The issue. Oh, what does issue mean, Daniel? It means the creation of an entity, or the birth of a child, or the actual being born. That is the issue. That is what they call the on the genealogy chart. You have an issue if you have a child, a legitimate heir. A conclusion, an end, that which an action, operation, or series of operations terminates. So think about this, folks. When were you put into a state of being which is a state of sin? It was that event that happened. What was the event? It was when you were issued through the birth certificate. That puts you into a state of permanent sin. Since, from that time, the whole period between that event and the present time. Question is, what are you going to do about it? We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken oral or used topically, stabilizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 185 studies by independent universities and institutions, silver is a powerful ease. Go to Silver2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuy.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuy.com.
Corporate media is the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Your money, what is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's price? 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For little as $60, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value and be stored securely and are accessible, just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
Now there's an amazing new natural antibiotic every person must have.
It's Cell Live Silver Solution, and it destroys over 650 hard-to-kill viruses, fungus, bacteria, and much more. Cells Alive Silver Solution has no expiration date, is great for emergency kits and storage shelters, and comes in 8 or 16-ounce bottles. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Hempusa.org, 100% chemical-free superfoods and unique health products.
Here at Liberation Age, we're Dr. Daniel today from Christian Remedy in Law. That's the YouTube channel, Christian Remedy in Law. All one word. Big bearded Daniel is with us. So, Daniel, you wanted to say a little sentiments today.
Well, you know, it's interesting that we know that the United States, at least they claim that, that they kind of formed, you know, their arrangement of government around the basis of belief in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, and said, well, let's look at democracy. And democracy in itself is secular. And in fact, Canada has declared itself, it has the right to run a secular democracy. And secular means without God, godless. So it's not spiritual. And that's why I try to help people to understand that the government they're dealing with is not a theocracy. It's a democracy, and it's really only a letter off of demonocracy. So there's to state that the or to place a declaration that the United States somehow is a Christian country always kind of threw me off. I just didn't really understand how they could be playing that. Her Majesty's title on this side of the border, Defender of the Faith, it comes from, you know, advocating the devil, the devil's advocate. So it's like a denier of the faith, not true. So it kind of floored me at times that there's some people that are in registered religion, especially on claiming Christianity, that believe that somehow their government should be respecting their faith when they're on the bad faith side, it's like with a name or a last name that places them into the secular national democracy that they're participating in, and therefore it defies having no covenant with the power. And that's true. In the Ten Commandments, they said, "What man of democracy is fighting?" And we go into the first, "You shall not have other gods before." Well, birds deify themselves, and they love to have these kind of patent titles, and they're like fabled genealogy that make them into gods. So that's why we use the term landlord. And when people are claiming that, they're really just working under a licensed patent to those who control that as the feudal lord. So, you shall have no other god before me, then why are you serving a feudal lord? The Bible is clear what it says. You cannot serve two masters. One's under the feudal side or the money side, and the other side is spiritual. Clearly not be the servants of men. So why are we serving men with these made-up titles and personas? So I think we kind of run into a problem right there when Black's Law even defines that a surname is the name over and above the Christian name, so they're saying it's superior to that. It's over and above the Christian name. So then if they're a Christian country, then why are people using titles that would claim to be over and above, used in ID idolatry, for worship? And don't worry that you go to court and there's always been there playing your worship. But there's no religious procedure going on there with cannons that are shooting these personas at you. So I'd say, number one, we're in a problem with. You shall have no other god. I would say that we are definitely violating that one under democracy. Now we can go on and go to
You said something, though, Daniel. Before you go on, you said something that I thought that can't be what it means. One who defends by opposition.
Right.
What the hell? If you're the defender of the faith and you defend by opposition, what does that mean, Daniel?
It is a weird thing. Defend also in law can mean to deny. So maybe these nobles are actually denying. They don't say what faith. They don't say good faith, bad faith. They just leave it very ambiguous as faith. But the title, defender of the faith, comes from its origin of relating to the devil's advocate. Those that basically advocate the liberty to do whatever you want.
You know, I think I see it now, because if I look up defend, I'm back in Webster's 1828. Again, here we have the duality. The first one is to drive from, to thrust back, to deny, to repel, to oppose, to resist. The second one, to prohibit. The second one is to vindicate, to assert, to uphold, or to maintain uninjured. So really what we have again a duality, that if I'm a defender of my faith, it means I'm in opposition to any other faith except my own that I've created. Because here's what it says: to vindicate, to assert, to uphold, to maintain uninjured by force or by argument, as to defend our cause, to defend rights and privileges, to defend reputation. That's what they're doing. Oh, I get it now. So really what that means is you're defending fiction. You're defending, you know, because reputation is the same as basically a person or a personhood. It's a name. It's a flattering title. It's, you know, you don't reputation. Reputation is the same thing as saying record. It's the same thing as my credit score. It's all artificial. It does not define. So holy crap, dude. there's that duality again.
And people appear in person, so they're in that persona of something they think is theirs, but they are really operating in a false belief or a false conviction, and they pay for that because, again, they don't even have a document that tells them they have that right, because in order to have that right or that grant they're claiming, they would have to have clearly written across the face of the instrument for patent right. So no one has any of that to date. I've never seen a birth certificate or any of the birth records say patent right. So there's no patent right. Therefore, it would automatically imply no patent right. But again, we understand we're dealing with deceivers who would like to keep people deceived. Therefore, they don't educate people in this. They say, well, hell, you can read all the 4 million laws and statutes we have that run our crazy game, and if you can keep up with it and figure it out, then you would have known that. So therefore, ignorance is no excuse in the eyes of the law. So therefore, all the laymen, basically, that do not know that the law is written by lawyers for lawyers, and that one of the laymen means idiot, so you cannot contract, because that's one of the ones prohibited contracting. So you're barred when cross the bar, you're accredited, and the additional name you're going to do with your, you go in there, you're doing the mathematical equation on, and therefore they're going to charge out on it. It's very difficult when people are not seeing this, but they've done this well, and man has a man's image, which is just a shadow of darkness, okay? He's unfortunately wanting to be worshipped, and that's why they have all these guys with these titles. And unfortunately, when you're caught in it, you're being brought in for a penalty shot for using something the lawyers know they're supposed to stop, which is someone practicing the law that doesn't have a license practice. So why is everybody going into the court? Because they're being penalized for practicing the law. Because they weren't called.
Well, and so to be clear also, the word practice in its most broken down form is to use or to act, to make something, right? So it's all, you're an actual, it's a performance, right? Application, it's use, it's everything, it's an exercise of any profession. So really all we're talking about is an acting job. It's, you know, like a magician practices his tricks. You know, what does practice mean? To try artifice it, to use evil arts or stratagems, to transact or negotiate secretly. Well, you know, that's a perfect one right there, because that's what they do. They transact the case with us secretly because we don't know the language they're using. It's a secret. Yet it's not a secret. It's out in the open. It's a trick. To form a habit of acting in any manner.
Yep. And that's how they can do all the whoring out there. That's why there's solicitors. And they run them in the commoners, and they do clean. Gentiles were considered unclean peasants. Gentiles, heathen. So there we go. And you shall not make or any like what in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. Okay, well, man likes to paint pictures and carve idols and statues and capture images on paper.
On driver's licenses.
Okay. And therefore, an idol is an image, which means I'm aged. But if we're made in God's image, then we're timeless because that energy is infinite. But when we're made in man's image, he runs that by time because he knows that eventually the time will run out on the use of that name or that image. So these surnames are really specters of a heathen deity. Their surname means Gentile. So therefore, Gentiles were heathens. Therefore, the surname says you're a heathen. Okay, that's it. The surname is a label brand of pagans and their national vestal identities, and the time's running out. And they run it by the democracy, but people do not see that. It's a false notion. That's what an idol is, a false notion or idea that causes errors in thinking or reasoning.
Yeah. I mean, there's two of these that are specifically close to my heart. This is one of them, because the full sentence, and I just out of the King James Version without going all crazy, thou shalt make unto thee any graven image, any likeness of anything. But you see, we don't go far enough. We don't say what that means, because remember, Jehovah. What's Jehovah? It's nature. It's everything. It's the sky above, the earth below, it's the water. What does it say in the Bible? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness, anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. It's telling you, focus on reality, folks. Thou shalt know. So, and here are great fallacies, the great reasons for people, including myself, did the due diligence and the pain of reading the damn Bible. I could not say, oh, well, you know, God is a jealous God. And that, they stop at that, not realizing what that actually means. Oh, man, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, jealous God. But listen, what does that mean? Don't just stop there. I am a jealous God, visiting the inequity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. People acting against God, creating the graven image, forcing man into a state of submission and servitude to everything but God, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You see how that works? Oh, but no, God is a jealous God. I can't be under a God that's a jealous God. Don't be an idiot. Don't stop at these stupid memes and catchphrases that are thrown out at you to take you away from God and from the true nature of what the Bible is telling you. Do not do it, because you're going to miss everything that is of reality, and you're going to stay in this artificial system because that's the only God you can have. You have to have an image to stay in that system.
Yeah, and particularly further on that idol, you know, another one of Webster's, at least one I was using at the time, it says anything that has no substance, only form. Well, don't worry, the fact is your parents are named as informants because they're in form, not in substance. Okay, and it's an image. It's an imposter. So the surname or the idolatry of that that you ID to carry for identifies you as an imposter, and so for an imposter has impost in it, which is a tax. Don't worry, that leads to taxes, T-A-X-I-S, which is an arrangement division where tactics are a unit of troops varying in size. Well, wouldn't the troops in the army have arms and have a surname? Don't worry about taxonomy, a system of arranging plants. Oh, a plant, isn't that when you set someone up and animals into an actual related group based on some factor common to each as structure? Well, just a second here. I didn't see anything about man in there in taxonomy. I said about animals, but now they're teaching us that we're animals, but animals can't reason. Man can reason. He can make a decision between what is morally right and wrong. An animal doesn't think about what's right and wrong. It just does. When a predator animal kills its prey, it's not going through a moral decision on that. So we don't want to get into kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, and species, because that all leads into so many rabbit holes I don't want to go there.
Yeah, those are all legal terms. That's what gets up there. Oh, but wait, they're terms of botany, aren't they? No, no, actually, those are legal terms. No, this one all leads right into, I mean, you can't really have one without the other here. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that his name in vain. That has so many applications to our everyday life, of course, because as we've discussed, you know, to call, respect man as your God, as your magistrate. So that alone is taking the name of the Lord, the God in vain, the final judgment, the only judgment of God. This goes as particularly that do not take God's name in vain. Well, think about what that means, folks. Are we taking nature in vain? Are we going in and genetically altering anything that is the creation of God? Absolutely. We're taking that in vain. We're taking everything, not just the name, but the substance, the whole structure, the whole design. We are altering and ignoring and just screwing up. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing PureEffect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises 9 pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit EffectFilters.com.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. Harassment.com.
Come to Fabiano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America. After a collapse of the system, go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com. Immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair at bugout.com.
First of all, let me take just a moment to thank you for allowing me back into your homes. If this is your first time with us, let me extend a personal invitation.
Let's build happy little cloud. Let's build some happy little trees. No limits here.
All right, here at the corporation, we're speaking frankly today about the Ten Commandments and what they really, really signify. We just got a short little section here, so I want to skip, if you don't mind, Daniel, real quick.
Yep.
We can go back to it, but I just, you know, I was looking at this, I'm like, holy crap. You know, we have this notion that's being, this meme that's thrown around all the time that a lot of people are wanting to have the natural law but have it without God. And it's a requirement of the natural law, ironically, to have that higher power and authority, etc. But the Tenth Commandment says, thou shalt not covet, right? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And you got all these people walking around, again, including myself, or what I used to say, saying, do no harm, right? Do no harm. Well, wait a minute. Isn't that what the Tenth Commandment is actually saying? Because covet means to desire or wish for with eagerness, to desire earnestly or obtain or possess, in a good sense, to desire inordinately, to desire that which is unlawful to obtain or possess. Right? So, really, when we say do no harm, we're really speaking of not only the Ten Commandments in general, but really speaking of do not covet. Because the only way you could actually do harm to someone, really, or their property, if this do no harm principle, is first to covet, right? So you have to sort of train yourself. Yeah, that's not mine. I'm not going to covet it. Is that not sound about right?
Yeah, people are coveting something that they need. They're desiring something that's not necessary. And therefore, I mean, you look at the terms that are in there, made, all those things. That's really what's going on in the even feudal system. They have in someone else's feudal pagan house using something that doesn't belong to us. And we're doing it to ourselves. We're the direct cause of our injury in this. That's covetous. And that's why we're being chased. We have wanted of there because we're trying to head of something that's out of a bad, evil system. They behead us. That's why they do legion. That's every time you use something, it's a legal execution.
Legion. Yes. It's to me that looking back, Daniel, at my former self, before I enlightened myself, again, others, I think about... thought, my uneducated opinion, and of course you know what opinions are, but you know, this seriously, this truly false, empty, I would say is probably a better word for it, this empty notion of do-nothing in its foundation, right? It's so misused, and I was a misuser of it because I did not attribute it to the Ten Commandments. I didn't attribute it to source, and that's really, really cool when you think about it, you say?
True.
All right, we will do this quick station identification, too, folks.
With financial uncertainty.